The Dr. Tracy Show, your integrated health expert. Here to help when you log on to peaksofhealth.com. Peaksofhealth.com.
There it is. When you hear the jingle, you know it's time for the Dr. Tracy Show. Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy. Another beautiful Sunday afternoon. Hope you're all having a great day. And I'm here with Dr. Tracy as usual. Dr. Tracy, how was your week?
Oh, the week was great.
Beautiful. We love when you have a great week. And we have a special guest in. But before we get to the special guest, we want you all to check out the website, peaksofhealth.com. Always some great stuff on there. Learn about Dr. Tracy. She'll tell you anything you need to know. She treats hormone therapy, thyroid, diabetes, weight loss, chronic fatigue. And today we're going to be talking about the general subject of nutrition. And we have Dr. Betty Webman in. She likes to be to go by Dr. Betty. And Dr. Betty, clinical nutritionist, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Very good. Nice to be here.
Now, let's start with it. What's a nutritionist and why is it so important?
Well, I see everybody from losing weight to cancer patients. So anywhere trying to select a good healthy diet or what should they not eat, you know, for food allergies, gut health, you know, just simply how to shop in the supermarket.
Now, you've written a lot of books. You made a documentary, taught at universities. What drives your passion? What got you into this?
Well, my first experience was keeping a little white mouse alive that my brother had left starve. And that was how I got into nutrition.
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Betty, you know, is in our office, and it's just phenomenal when we have patients that are having difficulty losing weight or highly inflamed or, you know, patients that are diabetic and they need one-on-one attention to, you know, really learn how to eat properly, because there is a different diet for everybody. You know, it has to be an individualized diet, the same way everything else we do is individualized.
And it's important because you told us that's the way, you know, it drives how we go about our day. A good nutrition, a good diet is something that can keep us healthy and keep us going, keep us happy. I've talked with you about it, and we were talking about it earlier. I don't have a great diet. So this is something that can help me today. You guys want to help me, and we want to help everyone else there that has a poor diet like myself.
Exactly. Aaron's a very significant work in progress for me.
We'll get there.
Little baby steps here and there. And that's what it is. It is sometimes just little changes that can occur, you know. And, you know, as I said, she's been phenomenally helpful with a lot of, you know, the patients. That's part of that individualized care that she gives.
Yeah, personalization is where we're going with medicine in general, but particularly in nutrition.
Yeah, I mean, nutrition's the hallmark of everything. You know, let's explain how, you know, nutrition, that is key to almost anything. Without, you know, proper nutrition in that system, we can't fix almost anything in that person.
Yes, it's not just chronic disease like diabetes or high blood pressure, but also mood disorders. I think what we have is a lot of people with depression. Yeah, and nutrition plays a very big role with that as well.
How does nutrition play into depression?
The level of amino acids, particularly things like tryptophan, can influence serotonin. And, you know, many people just go to medications. They work for a while, but if they don't make diet changes and they don't add some amino acids that are properly needed in their diet, then they never get over their depression.
Yeah, and we forget that, you know, a large portion of our serotonin is actually made in our intestinal tract. Yeah. So if you don't put the proper things in there to make that actual neurotransmitter, and that's where all the drugs work on. They work on that neurotransmitter system. But we forget that, you know, a lot of times it is our diet or, you know, our intestinal system that has actually contributed to that issue.
Yes, gut health is extremely important. And I spend a lot of time with every patient just doing the best job I can to get that proper food choice, get them using probiotics, getting them looking at safer and healthier selection of food choices.
How do you find that from patient to patient?
How do I find that?
How do you discover what the proper diet is for someone from patient to patient?
Oh, well, first off, I have to develop a sense of trust that the person will tell me the truth, because many people don't come in and tell me the truth.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they'll tell me just part of the story, and then I'll have to say, you know, well, let's repeat that again. What do you have for breakfast or lunch or dinner?
You got to prod them a little bit, right?
That's right. And then I'll say, well, you know, you didn't gain that weight just because you only ate a small bagel for breakfast.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, sometimes you can't quite lie to her.
You can't get past her. I can already tell.
I know. You know, when she works, you know, with me, even, it's like she just tells you like it is. You know, you may not want to hear it, but you need to hear it.
And I think that's important. And when we talk about that, and it's interesting how, you know, a theme I hear coming from you guys especially is trust. And you have to build trust, but not only between the patient and the, you know, both ways. It's trust going both ways. And I find that a common theme when we have any guests in here.
It is, definitely.
Well, the educational process is really what makes the difference. And so I have a lot of teaching tools and try to customize that level of teaching to build that trust, as well as making sure that everybody leaves my office having learned something that they didn't know. And that builds their respect. Maybe they didn't like what I said, but...
Yeah, she has a lot of little, what do you call it, diagrams and little dioramas and, you know, food things, you know, where it's plastic food choices so you can actually see it. It's very, you know, forthcoming when you see that big glob of fat that weighs 5 pounds in her office, you know, so it's really interesting. And we were talking about the Twinkie.
And also, people really, it's been a long time since they had a biology class or a health class, and to know really the parts of their body and how nutrition plays a role in keeping that organ of the body healthy.
Yeah, now let's, if you're just joining us right now, this is Dr. Tracy Show, Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy, Dr. Betty in studio, clinical nutritionist. And let's talk about different healing properties and discuss a little bit about that.
Oh, we can use food as a medicine. That and more seafood is being used every day for that. But also spices and herbs play a very big role because, of course, they were the first botanicals that led to some of the pharmaceutical drugs.
So spices and herbs can be good for you.
Oh, yes, very much so. Look at curcumin. You know, look at oregano. You can take oregano oils, and this is great for the GI tract.
Now, that's interesting because for someone, the layperson, I always tell everyone, I'm the layperson. I don't know much. And I really mean that. Pepper and salt, you hear, don't put too much salt on any of your stuff. I look at, like, when I hear oregano, stuff like that, I always equated it to something like salt. Don't put too much on. But I guess this can be good for you.
Oh, well, part of the Mediterranean diet being effective for hypertension as well as heart disease is because of the herbs that's used. Thyme, oregano, different compounds, as well as garlic and onions.
Yeah, when we're talking about, you know, like you were talking about salt, it depends on what kind of salt you're using. You use table salt that is pure sodium and processed salt. No, that's not good for you. Mm-hmm. It makes you retain fluid and, you know, increases your blood pressure. But when we use salt, we use, you know, real, organic, proper Himalayan pink sea salt. This mineralizes your body. It gives those minerals back to the system, and that actually lowers your blood pressure.
Is that something you can get down at the grocery store down the street?
Well, you can buy pink sea salt in Publix. However, we kind of really want the real, you know, okay, pink sea salt, you know, so we're kind of picky about where, okay, we choose. And that's one of the things we do when we actually tell people to, you know, use a particular type of product, like an oil of oregano. We do also need to tell them where to get it from, because they're not all created equal. You know, we do our due diligence when we're actually looking at these things as to what will be the proper thing. And Dr. Betty's a great resource to us for that, because she's been to like every different factory and company and farm, and, you know, it is on the board of so many different, you know, state funds and stuff like that, state boards, that she has that information.
Also, some great resources on their website, peaksofhealth.com, Dr. Tracy's website. Go check it out. So much great information. Give them a call as well, 727-826-0838 for any questions. Dr. Betty's in studio joining us today. Dr. Betty, we're talking about spices and how they can actually be good for you, healing. What other spices are good for healing?
Oh, well, think about curcumin. Now, that most people don't understand that that's really from turmeric, and that a major component of curry powder. And it wasn't until I went to India that I realized how important this was, because that they don't have Alzheimer's, and they use curry powder in everything.
Now, I have to stop you there. What do you mean they don't have Alzheimer's?
They don't have a senior population that has plaque buildup in their brain that we call Alzheimer's or dementia.
There's nobody in India that has Alzheimer's.
Not that is not like what we do. No.
That's shocking.
And
yeah, I mean, it's amazing. It's also, you know, highly anti-inflammatory. We use it for inflammation and joint pains and all kinds of things. Same thing, though, when we talk about, you know, different spices. Curcumin is specific extract, specific kind, and dosing makes a big difference in how it affects the system.
Give somebody a proper dosage if they're going to be at home using something like this.
Well, they have to make sure that they're getting a curcumin that is in oil, because it has to be better absorbed in order to get into the bloodstream. And, of course, if they're going to take a curcumin capsule, then they would want 1 to 3 a day.
Yeah, so, I mean, in most cases, we're using specific, again, doses for what we're using it for. And some of our patients may take a little bit higher dosing depending on their inflammation, but we're measuring their inflammatory markers. We're knowing how bad it is when we're doing that.
Very interesting.
But if you're thinking about, you know, having curry, which nutritionally we want at least 2 curry meals a week.
And wow. See, this is stuff that I can promise you most of these people listening right now have never heard this. 2 curry meals a week.
Right,
that's
because
what
that lowers the inflammation and serves as a way of food getting into being a part of the healing process.
I have to start hitting up my India food to go.
See, I don't like the taste of curry, so I just take the capsules.
Oh, I love it. I think it's delicious. Hey, plenty more here. This is very interesting stuff with Dr. Betty joining us on the Dr. Tracy Show. Aaron Jacobson, Dr. Tracy. More on the Dr. Tracy Show with Dr. Betty next. The Dr. Tracy Show, Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy today, Sunday afternoon. Hope you're all having a great weekend. Joining us in studio today, Dr. Betty, clinical nutritionist. Dr. Betty, thanks again for being here.
Great to be here, Aaron.
Hey, guys, check out the website, peaksofhealth.com. There's some great information on there, always some good stuff. If you have any questions, give them a call as well, 727-826-0838. If you give them a call, too, you're going to get a free consultation, so give them a call. She treats hormone therapy, diabetes, weight loss, chronic fatigue, autoimmune diseases, everything. Dr. Tracy can answer most of your questions. I'm not going to say all because I know you're amazing, Dr. Tracy, but
nobody can do everything.
Nobody can do everything.
And so, I admit that, though.
And that's why we love you as well. So give Dr. Tracy a call. She'll help you out. And today we're talking about nutrition. And earlier we were talking about different spices that are good for healing. Let's talk about food sources. I always love to ask Dr. Tracy, like, what's a good meal plan? What's a good – we were talking about – you said 2 curry meals a week, which shocked me. What's a good food source? What should we be eating?
Well, we need to eat red leaf lettuce, not iceberg at all, you know, that head lettuce. And, you know, we can have some romaine, but we really need to focus on the red leaf lettuce because we got more anthocyanins coming from a lettuce source.
Anthocyanins, what is this?
Right, that is a nutrient, and it's an antioxidant, so it provides more healthy components for eyes and for skin and for just the GI tract.
Yeah, when we look at food sources, we're always trying to tell people, eat the rainbow. You know, the more color in the food, the more antioxidants and the more nutrients are in there. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, carrots having carotene in them for the oranges, the purples, the reds, you know. So if you eat that rainbow and start eating the colorful foods, you're going to get a lot more nutrition.
I feel like the purple ones are always the nastiest ones.
Eggplant. Oh, no. We have purple potatoes. And
those aren't bad.
There you go. So she can find something for everybody.
You got the best. I already trust you.
He's probably a meat and potatoes person.
You nailed me. Right away, you got it. Steak and potatoes.
But the other thing is, the more orange colors that we have and the more green colors that we have, the better health we have for our eyes and for our skin and for cell metabolism.
Talk about those greens that are good for the eyes and the skin.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Well, of course, we've got spinach, which everybody remembers Popeye.
Of course.
And of course, then you're looking at Swiss chard, you're looking at kale, you're looking at broccoli. All of those are very dark green things which should be in your diet.
Kale. Everyone's talking about kale these days.
Well, now that's a good comment and a good lead into, you have to be careful about where you get your kale.
Got to be kaleful.
And you have to make sure it's organic. And most of all, you know, you don't want commercial or conventional grown kale because it grows in the same soil over and over and over again. And it has much less nutrition than that which is organically grown.
Yeah, I mean, we are, you know, go into that in terms of, you know, where to find your foods, what growers to use, where you may be able to locate, you know, the better sources. All food is not created equal, you know, so, you know, it does make a huge difference in the nutrient value of that food as to how it was grown, how it was processed.
And how can you tell what's the best processed food that you can get? Well, or least processed.
We do have studies that are becoming much more familiar in the public literature about the advantages of organic over conventional. The problem is the media does not like to present that because, you know, the supermarkets, you know, have been slow to get into the organic selections.
And to be honest, it can be a bit pricey.
Well, look. The American public is really spoiled. We pay the least for our food than any country in the world. And we should invest better in us.
In our health.
Yeah, well, you think about it, it's not really pricey in the long run when you think about the disease that occurs from eating the poor food.
But it's tough for a lot of people to think like that. It really is.
Yeah, but there are now, if you go local markets and things like that, there are fruit stands. And we actually give our patients cards to some of these because we've checked them out. We've physically gone there and make sure their sources are correct, where you can get that food for virtually the same price that you can in conventional food. You know, you're not going to get it in the grocery store because they're going to mark up the organic in the grocery store. But if you're going to local markets to do your, you know, shopping, you can get, you know, organically grown food for virtually the same price as traditional food in the food market.
If you're just joining us on the Dr. Tracy Show, Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy, as usual, with a special guest, Dr. Betty, a clinical nutritionist in studio with us today. And I don't know. I mean, when we're talking about processed food, how can you tell when we're talking about organic against stuff that's not organic, why more properties of why organic food is better for you?
Well, if I had my way, you would have a bar graph showing the nutritional difference. That would be what the components are for vitamin A, for B vitamins, vitamin C. An example is that if you use organic strawberries compared to conventional strawberries, you have twice as much vitamin C. You have three times the amount of folate. So if you saw that on a simple little bar graph or a nutrition label, that could help convince you that you needed to pay a few more pennies.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, as you said, we're talking about, you know, our health when we're talking about, and we talked about this before, we're talking about like even the dirty dozen and the clean 15, you know. So when we're talking about those kinds of foods, there are foods that you kind of want to splurge on to get that, you know, not get those chemicals into your food, not get the pesticides that you spray on the food into your body. You know, so we're not only talking the nutritional value, at times we're also talking about what we get exposed to when we're eating those foods.
Well, one prime example of that is I will not eat conventional strawberries. That is, and especially strawberries that are conventionally grown in the state of Florida. That is the most pesticided, fungicided fruit that you could possibly be consuming. So you choose an organic.
And what's the difference between that type of strawberry? How do they grow that?
That is made with either separation of the field being significantly farther away from conventional where they would be spraying with the pesticides and fungicides, or it is in a covered area, such as Wish Farms. I just visited them two weeks ago, and they have a covered area that is guaranteed to protect them from no sprays.
Yeah, and that same farm, by the way, does both, mm-hmm. you know, so a lot of these same growers that grow conventional strawberries, which is a higher yield, also grow, you know, organic strawberries.
Sounds like you got to have a lot of land. Hey, we're going to get more into this in the next segment. Great guest in studio today, Dr. Betty, clinical nutritionist with some great information on the Dr. Tracy Show. Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy. We're going to get more into that next. I want to find out what fruits are, you know, we were just talking about strawberries, how you won't eat conventional strawberries. I want to find out more fruits and vegetables like that with Dr. Betty on the Dr. Tracy Show next. Welcome back to the Dr. Tracy Show. Hope you're all having a great weekend. Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy in studio. Dr. Betty, clinical nutritionist, and if you guys want to check out our website, their website, peaksofhealth.com, there's some great information on there, and you can give them a call as well. They're going to give you a free 15-minute consultation if you give them a call, 727-826-0838. Check out their website, like I said, some great information. And Dr. Betty, thank you again for joining us in studio today.
Great to be here, Aaron.
And we were talking earlier about conventional fruits versus organic fruits, and you said you will never have conventional strawberries, correct?
Correct.
Now, what are some other fruits where you think that organic is just, you have to have organic over the conventionals?
When it comes to berries, it makes a great deal of difference. So whether it's blueberries or strawberries, makes a whole lot of difference.
Blackberries, all the berries, and they're on all of them are on the clean 15, 30, 12 list. They're in the dirty dozen.
Right. And of course, they're so easy to just pop into some of these smoothies. And, you know, they're a super fruit because of, you know, all of the antioxidants in them.
Yeah. And I mean, one of the things that, you know, Dr. Betty taught me that was really interesting to me is that, you know, because everybody thinks a banana is great for potassium. And actually, you said 3 strawberries have more potassium than an entire banana. So you can get your potassium from strawberries, which gives you a lot more, you know, benefit nutritionally and a lot lower sugar than the actual banana does.
And it seems like it would be easier to down 3 strawberries than a full banana.
Well, the thing is that when you go to a medical conference, there's Chiquita, this woman dressed up like a Chiquita banana as you walk in the door to the conference, and she hands you a banana and says to all the physicians, now remember, everybody that, you know, has a blood pressure problem or needs a diuretic, they need to have their banana a day. And you can walk around that conference eating the banana. Now, you can't walk around that conference eating a messy strawberry or an orange, both of which would give you more potassium than that banana.
Yeah, plus, you know, banana doesn't have much else going for it. So it's just high in sugar other than that. So that's the one thing they could tell about a banana that actually was a benefit. But, you know, there are a lot of other, you know, heavy, high antioxidant fruits. There are a lot of, you know, oranges we were talking about. Mm-hmm. And it definitely, you know, the difference between oranges and orange juice.
Yes. Well, remember, when you buy already commercially prepared orange juice, most of that is reconstituted. And so that means that it came in from Brazil looking like a corn syrup. And then that corn syrup is remade into orange juice with added flavorings, colorings, and some synthetic nutrients added to it.
I'm guessing we should stay away from those.
That is correct. It's very high glycemic compared to eating an orange or a tangerine, which you have the fiber from that fruit that slows down how that blood sugar raises, and you've got more of the natural nutrient.
And that's what glycemic is, how fast it raises your blood sugar for when you take it. You know, nature was really amazing. You know, it put in there everything we need to process that food. So an orange has all the extra nutrients it has to process the sugar and the vitamin C and absorption of those nutrients. The orange juice does not, you know. So, you know, we want to really get the nutrition out of our food. We need to go back to what nature even gave us. I mean, even we're talking about sugar. Sugar cane does not have the glycemic index that sugar does, because sugar cane is fully natural from nature.
Yes, and you have a lot of people that in sugar cane pickers will actually just be chewing the sugar cane as they're going through the field. And they have very low cholesterol because of some of the components of that sugar cane.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, so as I said, nature has put everything in there we need. We just kind of messed it up a lot.
Yeah. What about with oranges? Like, I know all the concentrated putting the additives and stuff in there. What about just taking an orange and squeezing it into a glass?
That is the ideal.
So you can do that. You're mm-hmm. good to go. That's your fresh orange juice
yeah.
right there.
The difference is when we squeeze that orange, we have to get a full glass of orange juice. We're probably doing 3 or 4 oranges instead of one.
That's a very good lead into portion size makes a lot of difference. When you buy already reconstituted liquid orange juice, you can fill a 12-ounce glass. That's the equivalent of 3 oranges.
So it is, you know, you got to realize.
Substantial.
Yeah, exactly. If you're going to have that orange, you want it as orange juice, then you squeeze that orange. You know, you don't do 3 of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, we got to remember, we kind of, you know, have a portion control problem in the United States.
But it used to be like when I was a kid, I used to drink those Slim Fast type drinks because I would think that if you drink more, you get slimmer. It's kind of like oranges. If you have three oranges, you're three times more healthy. Yeah.
Well, it reminds me of the story my dad used to tell me. He had this, client that, was overweight. And he goes, I don't eat that much. It's all I eat is chicken. Well, he was eating three whole chickens at a meal. Yeah, you're going to gain weight if you do that, So it is, we got to realize that it's the same thing. We're supposed to have proper portions of the stuff as we do it.
And well, I think we have the biggest problem in this country with portion control.
Of course. But we don't realize that a plant-based diet doesn't mean that you give up chicken and meat and fish, but you have more vegetables sitting on that plate.
Yeah, I mean, if you're eating more vegetables, you do get higher quantity food, I will tell you that, for a lot less calories. So, I kind of tell people if you're having a hard time with portion control, eat your protein, eat unlimited low glycemic vegetables, then have your other carb, because you're going to have a hard time filling up on those vegetables. You get a lot more for the size.
Hey, if you're just joining us, this is the Dr. Tracy Show, joined in studio by Dr. Betty, learning some great stuff, clinical nutritionist. And for when you're having a meal, like I said earlier, I like to ask Dr. Tracy about certain meals and what you should have. What's like a great dinner that you get all the certain, the great nutritional values that you need in that dinner?
Well, of course, there's always salmon, but preferably wild salmon, not that you would broil it or sauté it. That would be omega-3 fatty acids, so for anti-inflammatory, as well as zeaxanthin, anthraxanthines, things of that nature as antioxidant. Then, that's always nice to serve with a couple small boiled potatoes, preferably purple ones or red ones.
Maybe throw some spices on them all.
Oh, you can put some parsley, which is your number one food source of glutathione.
What's glutathione?
Glutathione is for helping your liver detoxify any of chemicals or especially chemicals that might be in that wine that you're having with dinner.
Certainly sounds necessary.
Yeah, it's one of the strongest antioxidants the body has. So it's very protective to the liver, the kidneys, the brain. So it's a very, very important antioxidant in the body.
And then you could, from a vegetable standpoint, again, we've overdone broccoli, but there are many other vegetables. I prefer to see people focus on asparagus, which is certainly the leading nutritional vegetable that we have to offer.
And steam those all?
Yes.
There's no other way?
No, you don't eat.
Throw some oil on them.
You don't eat asparagus raw, and you certainly don't cook it in a large amount of water.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, to flavor it up, you can add some of the herbs and spices. And again, if you want to add in, a healthy oil, saute in a little bit of olive oil or something like that, or coconut oil. If that's that's the way the person likes to eat it, I'll do that,
That's okay. How my mom got me to eat it as a kid. I just didn't like them steamed. And, she threw a little, there was a little crisp on the tip and it was delicious.
Yeah, even if they want a little grass-fed butter on it, Having a little bit of fat, it's not going to hurt them.
And then the other thing, you would have an avocado salad. So you can have an avocado with some cherry tomatoes and a slice or two of cucumber.
Talk about the nutritional value of a avocado.
It's the best fat you could possibly consume.
Just eat it straight up? Just a raw avocado?
Yep.
Yeah, she eats almost one every day.
One a day?
One a day.
Me, yeah. I kind of sparse it around a little bit. I'm coming to appreciate avocado. It's one thing I probably, a long time ago, if you asked me in my 20s, I wouldn't have ever touched the thing.
I haven't gotten there
but
yet.
But it's an acquired taste, but it actually is pretty tasty after you get used to it.
People will use guacamole, and that's a way of being introduced to avocado. I'm still amazed at how many people don't realize guacamole is made from avocado.
I've been introduced slowly through sandwiches, putting a little avocado on sandwiches. I'm getting there.
Yeah. But it really is the best type of oils and fats that you could possibly consume.
And you can actually do avocado oil, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, they sell avocado oil.
Okay.
So
what would you use that on?
You can use it on salads and things like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. As part of your salad dressing instead of olive oil.
You can also use it on your potatoes.
Yeah, there you go. Your purple potato with avocado oil.
Sounds delicious.
Sounds like a Saturday night
special. Satiety is very important. So we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that fat is our component for satiety. If we're going to keep portions small, we have to have some fat at every meal, or else we get hungry within an hour to 2 hours.
That's not a free ticket to go eat all the fat that you want.
It isn't. The same thing, though. If you eat all sugar, you're going to be hungry really quickly, the way it hits your sugar system. It's going to spike. It's going to raise insulin. It's going to drop your sugar down, and you're going to be hungry very quickly. But if you eat a well-balanced meal, it will take you to the next snack or the next meal, and you'll be fully satisfied.
And then afterwards, we were talking about smoothies. I know earlier we were talking about orange juice. What about smoothies, like a dessert? Is there a certain way to throw? We were talking about berries and how good berries can be for you. Can you make like a berry smoothie that's actually good for you?
Oh, you can have smoothies that have some plain Greek yogurt in it, some protein powder, preferably not protein powder, but a nice a whey concentrated powder, and some frozen mango or some berries with that. Sure.
Milk? Can you throw milk in there?
Well, that's why I put yogurt there.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people have allergies to milk. So, I'll use cashew milk or some of the nut milk sometimes, but the Greek yogurt is actually a lot better concentrate.
Okay, cool.
And of course, the Greek yogurt would have some probiotics in it, perhaps, if you didn't keep it in your refrigerator for an extended period of time.
Hey, guys, this is some great information. Really interesting stuff today, and we're going to keep it going in the next segment. Also, we're going to have a great story, What's in the News right now, and Dr. Tracy always comes with the great material for What's in the News. We'll have that next. This is the Dr. Tracy Show with Dr. Betty, clinical nutritionist, in studio with us today. Join us next. Hear more from Dr. Betty and Dr. Tracy on the Dr. Tracy Show. Hope you're all having a fantastic weekend as we are. Dr. Tracy with Aaron Jacobson in studio, as we always are on Sundays, and we have a great time in here. And joining us today on our fantastic weekend is Dr. Betty. Dr. Betty, you having fun with us?
Oh, of course.
We're having fun with you too as well. And she is a clinical nutritionist, and we are having a great conversation, as I said, about things that I really didn't know about. Some interesting stuff, just to recap. Dr. Betty said you have to have 2 curry meals a day, which is something that still is reverberating with me. I'm going to have to go out there now and get my curry meals going. And I love that because I love my curry meals. And we were talking about smoothies just before we went to break. And how do you lose nutritional value with a smoothie? Earlier I said could you throw some milk in there? You said use Greek yogurt. How do you lose nutritional value?
Well, the problem is that many times a person looks at a smoothie as just putting some ice cream and some fruits in there, and that's what they're calling a smoothie.
Naturally.
But of course, that's very high glycemic, or it's going to cause your blood glucose to go up pretty high, mm-hmm. or your triglycerides to increase significantly. So that's not a healthy smoothie. A healthy smoothie needs to contain some kind of a protein source, whether it's a protein powder like a whey or free amino acids or some yogurt. There has to be that protein.
Are there other ways to get protein aside from a powder?
Oh, of course. Yeah, you can put cottage cheese in it.
Okay.
You can use different nut milks, things of that nature.
Yeah, and you also, don't want to do just a fruit smoothie. You want to put some vegetables in it,
What?
Hey, this is a great way to hide those vegetables in things and cover them up with the fruit.
All right, give me a good vegetable smoothie.
Okay, the most popular one that we have at the office is a chocolate spinach smoothie.
So you make it sound good by trying to trick everyone with the chocolate. I'm on to you.
Well, this is like Seinfeld's wife. She did an entire cookbook for kids on how to get them to eat their vegetables by hiding it in the food.
It's a brilliant way to do it. Right away, I'm like, this is how much of a kid I am. I heard chocolate. I went, I'm in. I'll try it.
Then you heard the spinach, right?
And then I heard spinach and went, well, maybe.
Well, yeah. What about if we did a chocolate kale?
I don't know.
It sounds like chocolate cake.
Like you're disguising it once again. You're trying to bamboozle me, but it sounds good.
But that's the whole point, though, is to get somebody to have something that's healthy that they enjoy. Because if you're eating food just because it's healthy and you don't like it, you're going to eventually stop eating it.
Now, is that something you guys do on purpose? The name association try to fluff it up with some good words like a chocolate kale?
Everybody likes chocolate.
Yeah.
So you just build around what they like and help put healthy ingredients into it.
Hey, that sounds like a win-win.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, you have to give people something they like when you're giving them something that they might have not tried before.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of people who may not have tried kale before and they don't realize what it tastes like, you know, and you don't really even taste it in the smoothie. So, you know, this is a way to get something that's high nutritional, high dense nutrition into your system without you really realizing it.
One really other good smoothie, something good for you aside from kale. What other good vegetables?
Oh, people put carrots in. They put carrots and celery or cucumbers, you know, things of that nature.
Whatever. Arugula, spinach, anything, you know, you want that has a dark green, leafy, or colorful look.
That's got to be hard to take down. A spinach smoothie? What do you put it with?
You don't even taste it. You know, you put apples in there. You can put banana in there.
See, that's what for, like, and anyone who's listening that's a guy right now, guys, it's hard for them. You think spinach smoothie. You put some spinach in. You might put some water in, whatever, and there's your smoothie. There's other things. Go over what you said, apples. What else goes in there?
You put about 2 servings of vegetables for every serving of fruit you put in. So you can put pineapple in there or mango in there or strawberries or blueberries, you know, whatever you like, peaches, you know.
That sounds like something
we could
do.
You can put whatever you want in there to flavor it up to the flavor you like it to be.
I think you guys are turning me.
There you go. We're going to have to bring our smoothie machine in here and bring the smoothie.
I think that's a fantastic idea. It would be great. We can hear the blender going on the air. Okay, we always love to do – this is the Dr. Tracy Show, by the way, if you are just joining us. Dr. Betty, nice enough to join us in studio, clinical nutritionist. And every week with Dr. Tracy, we like to do an in-the-news segment. And Dr. Tracy, what's going on in the news right now?
Well, to pertain to what we've been talking about today, I found a news article on curcumin that we're doing. And this one is, curcumin may improve cholesterol levels for people with metabolic S. And metabolic S is metabolic syndrome, which is a pre-diabetes syndrome. So, you know, where we were talking about inflammation, this was a study that was done on just shy of 1,900 milligrams of curcumin a day. And they did it on 400 people. And it showed that there was significant increases in HDL cholesterol on the patients that were on the curcumin versus the placebo that was not. On top of that, the cholesterol levels significantly decreased, you know, 30 points when they were on the curcumin versus the ones who were not.
What does this mean?
So this means, again, this is, you know, we know the curcumin affects inflammation. We know that diabetes is an inflammatory disease. So extrapolated out, it's showing that this, again, can help control sugar and diabetes long term if somebody's eating those 2 curry meals a week and getting that in their system. It's one of the things that will help halt that inflammatory process. It's not saying that it will cure diabetes. It's not saying it will prevent it, but it's one of the things that can help alleviate some of it.
Yes, type 2 diabetes is quite inflammatory and leads to cardiovascular and eye problems as well. So whatever we can do to lower that inflammation within the body, it's going to help the entire body.
Yeah, I mean, so I think this is, you know, one of those things that shows that, yes, this nutrition, this particular nutrient is very helpful in that process. And diet can play a role in that process.
And we were talking about how curry was
Turmeric is a component of curry powder, and curcumin is the active component of the turmeric.
Now, it's amazing to me that I heard for the first time today that there was something. That's why, you know, in India you don't see something like Alzheimer's. Why isn't this something that we're talking about more in America? Because I just heard it today.
Well, first off, we want to sell the drugs for Alzheimer's. We don't want something that's a natural product. And when I went to India and we were doing presentations, I was totally unaware that curry made that much of a difference.
Unbelievable. We've learned some really interesting stuff. Dr. Betty, thank you so much for joining Dr. Tracy and I in studio today. Really appreciate it.
Well, now you're going to eat your curry, right?
I promise you I will have at least 1 curry meal a week. Maybe I'll get to that too. And really some great information. And Dr. Tracy, we had a great week again.
Thank you. It's been awesome. We can't wait till next week.
Can't wait till next week as well. Check out their website in the meantime, peaksofhealth.com. Give them a call. Get your free 15-minute consultation right now. Don't miss that opportunity. 727-826-0838. I'm going to give it to you again. 727-826-0838. Dr. Tracy will help you with anything you need. Dr. Tracy, great show again. Have a great week, everybody.